Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and also in the western suburbs of Boston, Massachusetts. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's a guarantee of ours. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And that's where you want to be today. It's still a very competitive market. We still have a shortage of inventory. And if you want to buy the house that you want, you want to make sure that you can compete if there should be another offer. The best way to do that is effectively through the equivalent of cash, which is a pre-purchase commitment. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized, what we call knock your socks off service. And that's because we use mortgage consultants. Everybody else calls their people loan officers. You want to go to an officer when you want to borrow money? I don't think so. I think you want to go to a mortgage consultant. So check out our low rate guarantee, 633-3700. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is. And the hotline doesn't have to be ours, no matter whose listing it is. Just enter the street number of the house you want to know about, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want, you'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. Just that fast, all automatically, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. So you drive by one of those signs, it's got 14 riders on it, 19 phone numbers, pictures of people, and all kinds of stuff, and you're driving by fast, you can't remember, but you know what street it's on, and you remember the number, then just dial 631-4800. Everything else is automatic, and you'll be all set to go. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams. Hopefully, we sponsor the Red Zone for the Buffalo Bills, and hopefully you'll see the Bills in the Hunt Real Estate ERA Red Zone tomorrow. Well, often, we hope. The Buffalo Sabres and also the Rochester Americans. This is broadcast live on WBEN 930. If you'd like to participate in today's show, dial us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're mobile, or star 930 if you're mobile, and 800-616-9236 if you're long distance. Those are all free calls. We have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is a guest who's been on before, and he shared many insights with us about the workings of our county government, and that is the comptroller of Erie County, Stefan Mihailo. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning. I would strongly encourage folks to call you if they are in the market for purchasing a house. We just had a family friend who tried to do it on their own, and we said, call a realtor, call our friend Peter Hunt. And it was tough. Mm-hmm. Kind of do that on your own, and you know what? Using you fine folks is the way to go. Trust us.
Well, thank you. It's kind of you to say that. You know, a couple weeks ago I had the mayor on, and people hear your name, they hear the mayor's name, county executive, other people that are relatively high profile locally, but, you know, they hear snippets about you and this, that, and the other thing. Take us back through the adult life of Stefan Mihailo, and how'd you get where you are right now?
Yeah, I grew up the youngest of seven children on the east side of Buffalo, William and Fillmore, very blue-collar family, son of immigrants. Whole family came here in 1965 from Ukraine. I half jokingly say they learned the English language from the numbers 1 through 75 and B-I-N-G-O. but I went to Syracuse University for political science and journalism, and spent a whole career holding politicians accountable as their watchdog, as an investigative journalist. My beat was the county budget. I knew that county budget like the back of my hand. I was about to turn 40 years old, and I figured, you know, this country's been really great to me, great to my family, and I wanted to give back and actually get in the game and not sit on the sidelines anymore. And that's why the Office of Erie County Comptroller was a perfect fit. to run for in 2012, and we were successful. We were the first Republicans to win countywide in a presidential year in 40 years at that time. And so we instilled private sector principles in the Office of Erie County Comptroller. We implemented cross-training. We have succession planning in our office. We put our banking business out to bid, and through M&T Bank, we now have a supplier pay program where we actually generate revenue for paying our county bills, and we're serving taxpayers really well. And live in the village of Hamburg with my wife Ashley, our daughter Mia, and our nine-month-old baby boy Maxime Roman, and life is great. I can't complain one bit. I love my job. I get to go to work every single day and fight for taxpayers, and I have no problem holding all politicians accountable, Democrats or Republicans. You know, we just had a budget process that was passed where the Republican minority wanted to cut $10 million out of the county budget, give taxpayers a real tax cut, real tax reform. And as you know from the private sector, that money is better suited in the hands of businesses and the people who pay the bill in the first place. And so there was a Republican legislator that voted with our friends on the other side of the aisle to eliminate those tax cuts. And I held that politician accountable. So whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you should do right for taxpayers. And so that's why I love my job, and I love serving my community in this capacity and giving back to a country that's been really great to my family.
You know, I appreciate all that. And there are two words that you used in your description of your experience, which politicians often use. The first word, when they talk about themselves, they talk about we. I mean, don't we elect you? I mean, with all due respect, everybody talks about, well, we did this and we did that. Well, and I think that's nice to pass the credit around. But the fact of life is they only can vote for one person, and they can only hold one person responsible ultimately.
That's true.
You can't say, well, it's all of us screwed up, you know, right. You know, if something goes wrong.
Well, I like to share credit. I have an incredible staff. You know, Brian Fumer, Chief of Staff, Greg Gatcher, Deputy Comptroller, Scott Kroll, another Deputy Comptroller, Jess O'Neill, Communications Director. We have a phenomenal staff, and I think that's what a good leader does. They surround themselves with people who are a hell of a lot smarter than they are. And I think the principal, the politician, you should set the tone and the agenda and the messaging for your office, and then just hire good people and surround yourself with really good people around you to implement that vision. And Chris Musilowski is another member of our senior staff. When things go well, I think it's important for a leader to share the credit because I'm not the one who's alone working on the great things that are happening in the Office of Erie County Comptroller. But when things go south, I think a leader accepts responsibility, steps up and says, hey, that, you know, the buck stops with me, just like Harry Truman. Mm-hmm. And that's what a good leader does.
The other word that you use, and this is, you know, I heard this 1,000 times in the last election, maybe more than that, in the last election cycle, and I'm not exaggerating, that's the word fight. Why do politicians always have to, you know, cloud what they say in terms of a fight? I mean, don't we want to work together in political office to get things done? And how does that happen when you're fighting all the time?
And we actually do. I know it's ironic coming from me, being a member formerly of the media, saying fake news and the media doesn't cover the positive. But we'll take the county executive, for example. We actually have a very positive, good working relationship. When FEMA and the federal government tried to claw back more than $50 million in revenue that was allocated to Erie County during the October surprise storm many moons ago. The federal government tried to get this money back. We stood side by side together and fought together to make sure that the federal government was not going to screw over Erie County. Numerous examples where we've stood together. You know, Erie County's bond rating. We sent out a joint press release when Erie County strengthened its bond rating most recently. And you know how many media outlets picked it up? None. So I do have an issue sometimes where if there is a fight, or if there's a time where we do hold each other accountable, that's front page news. But when you work together and talk about positive things that we're doing together, never, ever is it ever covered in the mainstream media.
So one would say then that politicians use that word fight so they can get more press.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
So I don't even
wholeheartedly agree with that. Yes.
I don't want to debate a silly topic. I just wanted to ask you about those two words, because it seems to me it just changes the dialogue a little bit. And I think as one citizen who does vote it grates on me a little bit. You know, I want people to get in there and get something done.
Absolutely. You know, but I also think, too, that discourse in this day and age is appalling. My wife, Ashley, and I went to see Hamilton with our 13-year-old daughter. And twice, two separate groups of people were literally yelling at me. And I cannot repeat what they were saying on the radio because you would have a very hefty fine from the FCC if it's not the seven-second delay with my 13-year-old daughter. And I mean some very vulgar.
They knew it was you and they came after you.
Specifically. Well, I look at my wife, Ashley, and she's got steam coming out of her ears. And the first thing I thought of, I put the dishes away. I made the bed. I snowblowed this morning. What's the matter? And she goes, do you hear what those ladies are yelling at you? And I said, I honestly didn't hear it. In front of my 13-year-old daughter, yelling obscenities at me.
I don't care what they said, but why would they pick on you? I'm just curious. It's just from the other side of the aisle, and they're just angry at the world, or
other
what?
Side of the aisle. You know, I did publicly announce that I'm not running for county executive, that I'm going to run for New York 27. I wholeheartedly support President Trump and his tax cut plan. I wholeheartedly supported Congressman Chris Collins. So I think people were just angry. And the one person specifically said, Donald Trump, right in my ear in front of our kid. So the level of discourse in politics, good people can disagree without being disagreeable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I did not respond in any way, shape, or form. Had I heard it, I probably would offer to buy them a beer and wish them well and said sure. Merry Christmas. But these are adults who had no problem in front of my 13-year-old daughter literally screaming at me obscenities going to see Hamilton. And that's really sad. And if that happened to a liberal Democrat, I'd condemn it too. But this is the day and age that we live in, that, mm-hmm. that people lose elections, they're unhappy with it, and they resort to anger. You know, I was not a fan of the policies of President Barack Obama, but when he won, when we toured the White House with our daughter in Washington, I said, he's our president. And we honor the office. We respect that sure. individual. We didn't riot or be angry or yell or swear at people when our so-called, you know, political adversaries won offices. But that's the day and age that we live in, where people are just so bitter and angry. Mm-hmm. It's really sad because I think it turns good people away from politics.
Let's go back to the function of your role, particularly in light of the way our county government is structured. And I'm getting to a broader subject, but there's a budget director that is appointed by the county executive.
That's correct.
And so how does your role dovetail in with the budget director? Because it seems like that kind of is diametrically opposed. Aren't you responsible for producing a budget?
It's a great question. No. The function of the Erie County Comptroller, and it's rare actually in Erie County, most counties in New York State have an appointed chief fiscal officer who's appointed by the executive. The problem I have with that is that there's a lack of checks and balances. So Erie County, and there's only a handful of us, they're independently elected. And I think it's really important when you have a Democrat county executive, you have a Republican comptroller. The county executive manages and proposes a budget. It's the job of the Erie County comptroller, no matter who that may be, is to opine on whether or not it is reasonable and sound. So the county executive manages the budget itself, and then my job is to monitor and report how the county executive is doing managing that budget. So sometimes those two opinions are opposed. You know, the budget director will have one opinion and will offer another to the legislature. You know, one of the things we do agree on, and I think the Trump economy is doing so incredibly well, is sales tax revenue is absolutely skyrocketing within the walls of Erie County government. So much so that we could have easily cut $10 million out of the budget and given a tax cut to the people of Erie County.
Why was it turned down?
A Republican legislator.
I know what happened, but
right.
What was the logic behind turning down that tax cut?
The logic was this individual cut some kind of a deal, you know, in a back room with Democrats.
Why did the Democrats even oppose a tax cut?
We wanted to cut it by $10 million.
But I know that. But why did they oppose it?
Because they wanted to add numerous jobs to the Erie County budget. And we philosophically, on the Republican side of the aisle, opposed that.
Just out of curiosity, where did they want
it? All over county government. There would have been more parks jobs.
So that was defeated?
No, it was passed, actually.
There will be more jobs.
There will be a lot more jobs. There was a position that was added. The Erie County already has a deputy parks commissioner.
Right.
There's already someone in that position.
Mm-hmm.
They created another deputy parks position, which is going to be appointed political patronage. And so we thought that the current budget that passed as is contained a lot of fat that needed to be trimmed.
Mm-hmm.
The county is so flush with cash that the county executive for the entire month of December isn't even charging county employees for their health insurance. So that's about $389,000 that the county executive is not charging county employee. Nice Christmas gift, huh? Would never happen in the private sector. But that's how flush the county is with cash.
How can he make a decision like that?
He's the executive. He manages the health care fund, and it was totally up to him.
You just said that your job is to monitor the county executive's performance against a pre-approved budget.
Which is why...
So that's an extra... That has to be an extra budget
item. Of course it is. Of course it is. But again...
So what do you do when you see that?
I scream bloody murder to the legislature. I said we should cut the budget by $10 million and give it back to the taxpayers in the form of a tax cut, and the legislature declined to do so. And that is one of the frustrating parts of my job, and even Mark Poloncarz has said this before because he was controller, that you can only do so much when it comes to sounding the alarm and being reasonable and holding politicians accountable. I can let them know and point them in the right direction, but in the end of the day, it's up to the county executive and the legislature to approve the budget. Flush with cash, almost $400,000, just decided, you know, we have all this money in this account. I'm not going to charge county employees for their health insurance in December. That would never happen in the private sector, ever.
Let me shift gears to kind of the mission of this show, and because you occupy a position where you can influence this. Our mission is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in real estate right here in Western New York, or wherever you happen to be listening. And what you do is not uncommon in other parts of our listening audience.
Right.
So to that end, we know a couple things. If you want to see values rise in any community, a lot of that has to do with a rise in population. More people building new houses, more product, more family formations, schools, all that kind of stuff happens, and it increases the value of real estate all through a community. So you go around the country and you look at communities that are growing, and invariably they also have rising prices, almost invariably. So that's one thing. The other thing that we know is that if you have a relatively low tax burden on an individual homeowner, that will increase the value of the home. And here's how it works very simply. And you and I have talked about this before. If I am qualified to spend X number of dollars a month based upon how much I earn, my family, that goes to a few things: principal and interest on the mortgage, taxes, and an estimate of insurance, right. PITI, it's, you know, we call it inside the industry. If more of what I can afford goes to taxes, that means less can then go to principal and interest. So every time taxes go up, effectively equity is destroyed.
It's almost like that scale going up and down.
It's exactly that. And when a couple administrations ago, we calculated that, what it would cost. We know what it costs based on every time taxes go up. Really, it's in like $60 a year, you lose $1,000 of value. Now, this goes to where I'm going with this is that politicians say, well, gee, I didn't raise taxes. But what they didn't do, what they're really saying, they didn't raise the equalization rate or the assessment rate. And so because they didn't raise that, if property values go up, the tax burden went up on the individual homeowner. So.
Right.
What role can you play in that kind of equation?
Well, I think education's critically important, you know, because politicians will always talk about the levy and what they're charging. Well, yeah, the levy is what they're collecting as a whole to run government, whether you're a school district or Erie County government. But are you actually cutting taxes? Are you cutting the rate that you're charging taxpayers, poor, you know, 1,000 or their assessed value, and there's a difference. And I think it's confusing for folks. So we try to educate taxpayers as often as possible through our social media, through general media programs, earned media, things of that nature. And that's why we fought so hard in this proposed budget that we were actually going to cut $10 million out of the budget and cut taxes for homeowners. Because what that would have done was, if you're setting the bar a little lower now, that's just not cutting taxes this year for the 2019 budget. If you're lowering the bar, that means you've got a lower bar moving ahead. in 2020, 2021, 2022. You look at the federal level of President Trump's tax cuts. I mentioned our baby boy when he was born last February. I wake up at 4 a.m. every other week to make sure our payroll goes through, because I don't want thousands of union employees with a battering ram at my door. And when I checked my take-home pay, when the tax cuts were actually kicked in and went into folks' paychecks because of withholdings, I look, I had an extra $120 in my biweekly paycheck. Now, that's real money for Ashley and I, real money for diapers, for formula.
Right.
We actually socked away, though, for Maxim's college fund. But for real folks, when you cut taxes, that means they're going to spend that money or have that extra money when it comes to being able to afford a home, when it comes to maybe paying off their mortgage a year or two early. Mm-hmm. That's real money when politicians actually cut taxes. And so look at the economy and how it's roaring at the federal level because of the federal tax cuts that President Trump implemented. Hiring went through a bonanza. We have a record unemployment, not just for the entire population, but for African Americans. It made a real impact for the people, not just of Erie County, but across the country.
And we'll come back and talk more about that and other things with the Comptroller of Erie County after these very important messages from our house to yours.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And keep in mind that we're about to, in the spring, or actually late winter, release a whole new version, and it's going to be more and better and faster and everything you're going to need relative to real estate and homeownership. But right now, it's the only place in the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, very important in this area, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And while you're on the phone, ask about those pre-purchase commitments, which are really, really, really important in today's world. 633-3700, only at Hunt Mortgage. And today's, you know, people are talking about interest rates. They're talking about a lot of things in the economy, basically few things. We talked about this with our leadership team yesterday. One is interest rates. You know, there's the price of oil. You know, they talk about free trade. And then the last thing on the list, which comes up constantly, is housing. And what they're talking about constantly is a housing slowdown. I just want you to know that November was the best November in 107 years for us. So I don't think it was all that terrible. So it doesn't seem to our people seem to be excited about what's going on in the marketplace. Our customers seem to be anxious and willing to move on the right product when it becomes available. And I encourage all of you to do the same thing because it's a great time to buy. And people say, well, shouldn't we wait till the spring? Let me tell you about the spring market. You're competing with more people, okay? So do you want to compete with more or less? My advice is compete with less. I think December is probably the best month of the year to buy a house if you're really serious. And on that, I'll turn back to my special guest here in the studio today, who is Stefan Mihailu, the Comptroller of Erie County. And we were just starting into the issue of taxes and how we arrive where we are here in Erie County. And people that know constantly say, and I know you're acutely aware of this, Stefan, that we are among the highest taxed counties in the country.
And it's not just taxes, though, that negatively impact the county budget. There's a lot of unfunded mandates, whether it's on the state government or federal government.
Well, let me just stop you there, because last week I had the head of one of our health systems here, Art Wingert from Univera Healthcare, and we were talking about the weight of the Medicaid mandate.
It's brutal.
So describe exactly what that means to taxpayers here.
Yeah, here in across the country, most states, the federal government picks up 50% of a Medicaid bill, and New York State picks up the other 50%. In New York State, the geniuses in Albany said, no, we're going to force a major percentage of that cost down to the county. It has gotten better in years past. That 50% that New York State is responsible for, they actually shoved most of that and a big percentage of that payment down our throat. Our payment is going down, but in Erie County alone, the Medicaid cost, the actual Medicaid cost in 2017 was $196 million that they're forcing us to pay. And we have no say in the matter on how the Medicaid dollars are spent. So, Mr. Hunt, it's like you and I go to dinner and we're going to go to the Chop House or Russell's, and I say, don't worry about getting whatever you want on the menu, anything you want. And you
order. If you're paying, I'm going to pick the most expensive item.
Well, here's where we get screwed
just
with
kidding,
Medicaid.
Of course.
Oh, no. And you get six steaks and you get takeout and all of it. And I order everything on the menu, and then I stick you with the bill and say, you have to pay it. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I didn't choose what's on this menu. And New York State does the same thing to us. They choose the cream of the crop when it comes to Medicaid health care, and they stick us with the bill. Six of the last 10 years, our Medicaid bill was larger than what we collected in property taxes. So we didn't have to pay that Medicaid bill. We can charge zero for property taxes in Erie County.
Well, that's very interesting. You know, the going back to what this beautiful package is that the state has elected, and it is an election. My understanding is that there's 36 programs in Medicaid, the Medicaid bill itself. Most states elect 7, 8, 9, 10 of those things. We elected 33, I'm told.
Correct. In New York State, yeah. And that's what's so frustrating is that these clowns in Albany, they literally have the cream of the crop of healthcare, and they stick us with the bill. But it's not just Medicaid that negatively impacts healthcare costs within Erie County, where taxpayers are being stuck with the bill. We have an IGT payment, intergovernmental transfer payment. We are actually responsible under the law for paying for the losses at ECMC for people who receive health care who are not insured. The federal government, by law, has to pay half the bill, and then we pay the other half of the bill. In 2017, $50.4 million Erie County taxpayers paid for the uninsured who receive health care at ECMC. And our friends at ECMC do a phenomenal job under very difficult circumstances providing that care. And this is in no way, shape, or form a slight to our friends at ECMC. But the way the law is written, the federal government pays 50% of that bill, and we pay 50% of that bill. So between the losses for the uninsured at ECMC, $50 million, and then our Medicaid bill is almost $200 million. That's a quarter of a billion dollars in expenses that we have in county government, and we have no say whatsoever in how it's spent. Can you imagine what we can do with $250 million in county government?
So let's look. That's two major expenses. The revenue side of the equation is real property tax, and what else?
Sales tax. Sales tax revenue is our largest source of revenue, well over $400 million, where what we collect in property tax is a little north of $200 million.
And how much of that is dependent upon our Canadian friends?
Actually, it's interesting you bring up that question, because normally in years past, you would see bridge traffic, a direct correlation between bridge traffic and sales tax revenue. But we drove down in the data, and when you look at going back to 2012, sales tax or the bridge traffic is actually significantly down, but our sales tax revenue is going up.
So local people are feeling better about things and spending more.
They sure are. And I think when you look at the Trump tax cuts, there is more money. You cannot argue with this. There is more money in the pockets of hardworking Americans, and they're choosing to spend. And that's why our sales tax revenue is going up.
We have a caller on the line, Stefan. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hi, Peter.
Good morning, John.
John, it's good to hear from you again. You're a regular.
I'll tell you, it's a pleasure to talk to important people, and that's why I appreciate Peter's show.
You. We're talking to you. You're the important person on the call.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to give you a compliment. I'll tell you, you are one of the few politicians that say it like it is, tell the truth about the biased media and the dangers of the left. But my question is more practical. It has to do with the taxes. Rochester, we have a much higher county tax burden in the Erie County, and of course that's Monroe County. And I'll tell you, Joel Giambra, when he was county executive, I think Joel Giambra did a lot to make that happen. In fact, he was kind of my hero for a while, because when he got into office as county executive his first year, I think there was a dramatic tax decrease at a county level.
30%.
It got him into trouble because of the red budget, green budget thing, but in the end, the Financial Control Board really was a benefit to the county. What are your thoughts, sir?
Absolutely, John. You are 100% correct. That's a great question. Yes, going back to the red-green budget crisis, taxes, and I think that was a great thing, were cut 30%. But the problem was the politicians, Democrats and Republicans, then increased government spending. They blew through tobacco settlement money. They blew through surplus. And tax cuts are wonderful, but you have to offset that with decreasing your spending. You know, it's the same thing with your home checkbook. You would never use your savings account to pay recurring expenses, your monthly mortgage, your monthly gas bill. And going back to 2005, 2006, that's what the county did. They basically cut taxes 30%, and that's a good thing. That put more money into the people who paid the bill in the first place, the homeowners, business owners. But then they increased spending, and that is a recipe for disaster. And yeah, there was some tough love with that control board. They actually, the county at that time, could not even approve a contract over $50,000 without control board approval. And that's a good thing. Oversight's a good thing within Erie County government. But under the leadership of now Congressman Chris Collins, he only took $1 a month in salary and said, we're going to get Erie County back on sound financial footing, and we're going to get rid of that control board, and they did.
Well, this is an interesting point, because you now have stated your interest in going to Congress.
That's correct.
And now you're going into from a position where you have, in my mind, direct influence on what happens to local citizens, to a situation where you're one of 400 and change, having little or no influence on back home, except in terms of the, you know, the ever-present pork in our federal or national budget. So why would you even – we've only got a minute left before the break, but why would you even be interested in doing that?
To continue serving folks. I love being a public servant. I love giving back to my community, and I would love to do that at the national level. I'm a concealed carry permit holder, NRA member. I would love to go to Washington and fight for the Second Amendment.
Here you go fighting again.
I would go and support the Second Amendment and President Trump and the tariffs on countries that have really screwed America over, and continuing a second round of tax cuts in Washington.
Well, that's all very interesting, because I it seems like a lot of politicians view this as kind of going through the chairs, with all due respect. You start one place, you go to another. Our mayor started in local government. I think he was a
Maston district councilman, and then state senate.
And then he becomes mayor. And you know, this is all well and good. I suppose you need experience in this whole thing, but we're seeing live and in color how little experience is really required to get something done in Washington through our current president. Now, style aside, okay,
right,
let's forget about tweets and style. But the fact of life is there are big changes taking place. And even in the previous administration, there were big changes taking place that, you know, may or may not have been the best thing for the country, but they got things done.
Correct. Yeah, I'd love to go to Washington and fight for something like the Medicaid bill that we talked about. I would love to go to D.C. and help with that.
And we'll be right back with more from our house chairs after these very important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day. But one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the pre-purchase commitment. And our mortgage consultants, call them today, 633-3700 for that personalized service. We like to talk about. I'm in the studio today with Stefan Mihailu, the comptroller of Erie County, and we've been talking about kind of a wide range of topics relative to the quality of life here that is either supported or let's say diminished by the presence of local government and its cost. And this is a wide-ranging topic, and you know we can't really get into the details of it at this point in time. But before we go any further, I just want to remind our listeners or mention to our listeners that Christmas is just a few weeks away, and we need your help to ensure a merrier holiday season for thousands of local families here in our area. Hunt Real Estate is once again participating as a collection point for Buffalo News Neediest Fund. If you'd like to help, please drop off new unwrapped gifts at our Hunt Corporate Branch located at 430 Dick Road in Depew. By the end of the day on Monday, December 10th, we're right up against it here. Donors are always generous when it comes to gifts for the young children, but it's important not to forget the older ones, ages 12 to 8. For them, good ideas like books, arts and crafts kits, board games, gift certificates, jewelry, hair accessories, DVDs, even skateboards, video games. These are very popular items for that 8 to 12 age bracket. So please join us, the Buffalo News, and its many partners in making sure that no child in our community is forgotten during the holidays. Again, if you'd like to donate a new toy, please bring it unwrapped to our corporate offices at 430 Dick Road in Depew, right near Walden Avenue. So please help us help others. It's always our bins are always full, and we want to make sure they're overflowing this year.
But it's really nice.
So anyway, Stefan, back to our topic of the day, which is really what you do and what you can do to affect the kind of change and really what that means for your career. I mean, because you've mentioned, we just were talking about it before the break, about your decision to look to a national role.
Yeah, whenever we made the announcement this week that I will not be a candidate for county executive in 2019, and if and when the seat opens up in New York 27, I will be a candidate for Congress. I worked for Congressman Chris Collins for many years. I hit the campaign trail with him. It was incredibly important to make sure that seat stayed in Republican hands, and it stays red moving forward. And we mentioned politicians at the county level, state level, federal level. I mean, at the federal level, the interest we're paying on our debt in 10 years is going to be more than what we're paying for health care for seniors and on our military. In 10 years, according to the New York Times, the interest payments.
That's with normal escalation in the total debt.
That's correct. In the New York
normal
Times,
meaning the accelerated pace that we're on.
Right. $915 billion in 10 years is what the federal government will spend just on the interest payments on our debt in 10 years. Again, that's more than what we're going to spend on seniors and on health care.
Let me ask you a question. There's only two ways for that to go down, the debt to go down. One is that our revenues go up. And hopefully that's the result of a strong economic activity.
And not taxes.
Well, because people will figure out a way around them.
Right.
That's just the way people are. That's one way. The other way is to cut costs. And what we know, though, and this is why I ask you why we want to go into this mess, and I've asked other people in that situation the same question. Congressmen, senators, legislators at all levels exist to pass legislation. Every time any legislation is passed, there's a regulatory collection of stuff that has to go along with it. In other words, you say, you can do this, you can't do this anymore in society. Somebody has to enforce that or levy a tax burden. Somebody has to go collect it. So in some way, shape, or form, a bureaucracy is created to enforce the regulations that are designed to enforce the law, whatever has been passed. Bureaucracies don't go away. They exist.
Unfortunately,
they exist to perpetuate themselves. So how in the world will you or anybody else or the whole collection of congressmen ever do anything about that?
Well, I think Donald Trump is fighting the good fight. And, you know, we mentioned Congressman Chris Collins, too, and he actually introduced legislation which could be introduced again, which I would fight for in Washington. And we talked about that Medicaid burden.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Collins actually floated a piece of legislation that would have forced New York State to pay their 50% of the bill. It didn't make it in the repeal and rollback of Obamacare. But that's one example where you could go to Washington and fight the good fight, introduce legislation that actually would have had a positive impact on counties. I think that's why President Trump is getting such pushback. He's not part of that bureaucracy. He's not part of that swamp that he's trying to clean up. And I think that's what's making people angry.
Well, that's what I was alluding to in this kind of going through the chairs issue. I mean, but once you're vested in the system, so to speak, what's the next opportunity?
And yeah, it's hard to get out. I mean, for me, I feel so passionate about giving back. Again, you know, my dad was a typewriter repairman. You know, my mom worked in a factory. We literally grew up in an alley off of Fillmore near William, and we didn't have much. And my folks would always say, through God's grace, a strong education, and hard work, you can be anything you want in this country. You know, my brother Dan was a former Buffalo firefighter that became a surgeon. Mm-hmm. You know, out of the seven siblings, we're all doing well. We're productive, and this country's been really great to us. And so that's why I think public service is incredibly important if you're in it for the right reasons. I certainly made more in the private sector than I do as Erie County Comptroller, but I didn't take this position for the dough or to be harassed at Hamilton in public or on social media.
It's a side effect, I guess.
Yeah, it sure is. But I think if people are in it for the right reasons, you can actually do good.
We have a caller on the line. This is Gustav from Williamsville. Gustav, how can we help you?
Thank you. Maybe you've talked about this. I apologize if you did. But tariffs, local preferences, there's a bunch of issues like that. How does Mr. Mihailu feel about that?
Sure. He said Mr. Mihailu. I was looking for my dad in the studio. you know, we'll look at Korea for an example in unfair trade agreements that have really screwed over American people.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Obama administration, something Hillary Clinton actually pushed for, a free trade agreement with Korea that literally shipped hundreds of thousands of jobs overseas to Korea, China. You look at NAFTA, all of these different so-called free trade agreements, you know, where China, one brother worked at Bethlehem Steel for years. China's dumping steel. They're really hurting Americans. And so I praise the president when it comes to fighting for the elimination of all of these so-called free trade agreements that actually wound up hurting union employees and hurting our economy. You look at the recently negotiated free trade agreement between Mexico and Canada. Canadian tariffs were killing dairy farmers in the United States. I mean, their tariffs and their penalties were so severe for American dairy farmers that wanted to sell their milk in Canada. And what did the president do? He renegotiated that agreement. And now it is easier for American farmers to make a good buck in Canada. I think America should come first when it comes to tariffs and free trade agreements, period. Our interests are national, and we should protect our economy and our American workers.
Let's face a fact here. Free trade's not free.
No. Okay?
It's not free.
Absolutely not.
There's no such thing. That would mean that there would be no tariffs between countries, and that just doesn't exist.
Right.
So, I mean, so why do we kid the public with all these terms like that? Because it's just fake.
It is. Again, you look at the so-called, you know, free trade agreement between Canada and Mexico that was negotiated under Bill Clinton. It was impossible for dairy farmers in the United States to sell milk on the other side of the border in Canada. Impossible. And it benefited Canada in many respects. It benefited Mexico to the detriment of union workers here in the United States. So getting back to that question, I wholeheartedly support tariffs that will be tough on countries that have screwed over the United States of America for years. And we finally have a president that's putting a real line in the sand and says enough.
Yet it's still one of those bugaboos that's causing the markets to be all nervous. There's four things, as I mentioned. There's interest rates, there's the price of oil, there's trade, whatever perception
right.
It might exist out
free
there.
Free or not.
Free or not. And then there's the housing thing, because people, the financial observers and writers are looking at housing for what it generally is, which it is the sector of the economy that leads us into a recession. It also leads us out. And right now they're saying, oh, there's weakness in the housing industry. But we function in three states, and we're seeing no such weakness, except in certain segments of the market. And we've talked about that. The high-end real estate in this country has been weak for years. That's nothing new. But the bread and butter sections of all markets remain very strong. And for a number of reasons, which we talked about endlessly on the show.
Call that fake news in many respects, because you...
But everybody's all nervous about it.
Right, but you are literally on the front lines, and you know that that's not the case. What's being reported and what's being seen on your bottom line. Mm-hmm. I think the economy is doing well. Again, you look at sales tax revenue with Erie County. Bridge traffic, it is an absolute fact, is down going back to 2012 of Canadians coming over here
shopping.
Much? I think even close to 20%.
Really?
One-fifth.
Is it because of the border issues, or is it because people are going to other traffic is going to other crossing points?
In the same way with the housing market, it's multiple factors: the strength of the loonie, gas prices. They're not coming here. Our friends to the north, our Canadian friends, are not coming here the way they used to. But yet, our sales tax revenue is through the roof within the walls of Erie County government. I point to the Trump tax cuts and the roaring economy. The more people have money in their pockets, and maybe they're paying off, whenever we could, we do. We pay an extra month's payment on our mortgage. We're putting money away for our son's college fund. We're putting more money in the local economy.
And I think it's a good thing that money's moving around the economy. But there's another thing that they're freaking out about in the financial news is the savings rate and that how it's going down, presumably, or at least reportedly. So what do you make of that?
I make of the fact that some people have more money in their pockets and they're deciding some are spending and some are saving. My family, I'll give you an example of my family. We're doing both. Mm-hmm. When those Trump tax cuts were passed, we found both of us, Ashley and I, we had more money in our paychecks. Half of our money, that additional revenue we didn't have before, which is our money in the first place that the government's giving back mm-hmm. to us. Mm-hmm. Let's make no mistake. That's my money to begin with. And we put away half of it for our daughter Mia and our son Maxim in a 529 college account. And then the other half we're paying our bills and spending it. So I think it's the difference of what people are doing with that extra revenue.
Well, let's talk about that. What I hear, and this is only anecdotal, is that people are spending more for replacement. In other words, let's go buy some new clothes. Let's right. Let's get another car. Let's
shop on Amazon.
Let's get some more stuff for our kids, that kind of stuff where they might have tolerated the stuff that might have been a little bit worn around the edges. Now they're replacing it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Amazon, how easy it is, and we shop all the time on Amazon, our family. Mm-hmm. It's with a click of a button. It goes right in your account and you shop.
And I drive by Galleria and the parking lot's jammed. And they say the retailers are doing great, which I hope they are.
Me
and,
too.
And, the next thing that I'm hearing about is that the car dealers are having a tough time, but people I know in the car business seem to be doing great.
I think the economy is roaring again, and I think that's because there's leadership in Washington and President Trump that's actually putting more money in the pockets of hardworking Americans who paid the bill in the first place. And whether I'm the county controller or an ex-congressman, I will always fight to take money out of the hands of government and politicians and put it in the hands of people who paid the bill in the first place.
Stefan Mihailu, if somebody wanted to call you up and call you a bunch of names, or how would people get a hold of you?
They can go to the Google machine and give us a call on county government, 858-8400.
All right, great. Well, so you can all store up your nasty words for our guest here. But Stefan Mihailu, I want to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday season. And I want to thank you for your good work. And I want to wish the same to all of our listeners that they enjoy this holiday. Remember that news neediest funds. And remember, you can drop stuff off at 430 Dick Road in Depew. That's our corporate offices. And I encourage you to stop by and say hello if you do come by and drop something off. This is Peter Hunt. And we'll be back again next week at the same time with Jerry Jacobs as my guest. And remember, when it comes to real estate, Western New York and all of upstate is Hunt Country.